At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, and we turn to the American economy. Since Joe and I last spoke, he's in London. He writes political economics. We've been focused on the turmoil in the UK, especially about the future, so-called mini-budget. In other words, what is to be done? We're in this fix. We've got very high inflation. This is the UK and Europe. Very high inflation. We've got energy shortfall because of the war in Europe. And we have the risk of a prosperity to our citizens who are going to vote us out of office unless we come up with a solution. Well, now we come to the United States with much the same problems, absent the energy problem. We've got plenty of energy, which may or may not be developed over these next years. However, the major driver for anxiety about the future in the U.S. is inflation. And Joe, I go to the CPI report that we had from the Bureau of Labor Statistics late last week. Energy up 19.8% year over year. Food up 11.2% year over year. All items up 8.2% year over year. And all items less food and energy up 6.6%. Those numbers shocked the markets. They shocked Washington. However, they were anticipated, I presume, by the Federal Reserve, hence the jumbo hikes earlier this year and the promise of more jumbo hikes, 0.75 in November and perhaps again in December. Do you measure that these numbers were so large that we need to entertain a bigger jump in interest rates, say 100 basis points in November?
Well, I have always been agnostic on the specific size of rate increase that the Fed should go for at any particular meeting, because I think that the more important angle on that has always been that the Fed had to do things that would signal that it was serious about zeroing in on the inflation problem. And I do have to say that although I have had many beefs with the Fed over the years, I think that Chairman Jay Powell has finally managed to convince markets and the broader economy that he is serious about doing it. I think that the bigger problem is, you know, how much longer are they going to have to go with fighting inflation? And do we even understand what has been causing the inflation right now? Because we're in this environment where there are some signs that the labor market is starting to soften a little bit. I mean, you're also seeing anecdotal evidence of layoffs starting to happen in some places, that sort of thing. And yet the inflation doesn't really seem to be coming under control. And I think that that should be raising concerns that maybe there are dynamics going on here that we don't fully understand. And there might be other things that have been happening, such as these huge run-ups in government spending from Congress and the Biden administration that might be contributing to the inflation and that are working at cross purposes with what the Fed has been doing and that are making the Fed's job much harder.
The markets are volatile, to make an understatement. And that volatility might also be a liquidity problem. I can't tell. But in any event, we're reacting to headlines with alarm, just the way they did in London after Liz Truss, Kwasi Kwarteng, announced his mini-budget. And is your expectation that this will continue through the winter? Each day, a move of 200 or 300 or 400 points on the Dow, reflecting also large moves in the S&P 500. So no certainty whatsoever, just a guessing game each day.
Well, I mean, look, if I could accurately predict the market, I would certainly be sipping drinks out of a glass with an umbrella on a tropical beach somewhere. So, you know, instead, I'm just a financial journalist. But I do think that the reality is that financial markets and the financial system writ large have been conditioned for 15 years to operate in an environment of freakishly low inflation and freakishly low interest rates. Both of those things are changing now in ways that are very hard to understand on a day-to-day basis. And so a consequence of that is that you're going to expect that it will be very difficult for markets to chew over and digest these developments on a daily basis. And I do think that we probably need to expect that we're going to see a lot more volatility in markets than we've been accustomed to. And that's going to be very painful, but it's not necessarily going to be unhealthy, because that will be a sign that the market is fundamentally doing its core job of absorbing new information about the economy and pricing risk. And so we should view volatility as a sign that the market is trying to do what it is supposed to do, even though I think that's going to be very difficult for those of us who have to live through it.
Yes, let's get used to it. Now, let's go to that big number, 19.8% jump in energy year over year, as reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Energy is at the center of the war in Europe right now. For example, Russia's attacking the power stations in Ukraine. 30% are gone, according to Kiev's reporting. A nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe, is now at grave risk. It may be off its power source again with a containment vessel that needs to be controlled with power from the outside. We know that the energy shortfall in Europe, variously reported by large states, for the moment is adequate because of stores, but that is not true for these next years. We also know from your reporting, Joe, and you've watched this for months, that the European Union is suddenly moving, and so is Germany, towards looking with favor on coal-fired electricity plants, nuclear power-fired electricity projection, and also, and last time we talked about fracking in Germany. All of this is a positive, Joe. All of it means that people are coming to terms with how we're not adequately prepared. Is that true in the U.S. as well? Are we taking advantage of all of our resources? Could we be doing more? Is that part of the solution for this large inflation number, that the energy prices have gotten out of whack and we need to control them by producing more energy? I'm talking about fossil fuel. I'm talking about renewables. I'm talking about nuclear power. All of the above. Nothing special about any particular pursuit. All of them.
No, that absolutely needs to be part of the solution here. And this is one of the things that I find baffling and frustrating about these debates in America right now, because, I mean, it's so obvious that if the thing that you have is a problem with spiking energy prices, you can produce more energy and that additional supply will help bring the price down. And yet this very basic economic principle seems to be beyond the Biden administration, and it's creating enormous inflation problems in the economy. And I, you know, part of this, if you're looking at this through the lens of inflation, I think that there's been a big conceptual problem here, which is that economists usually talk about core inflation, which excludes food and energy, versus inflation in food and energy. So it's entirely possible that there's been this view that what was happening with energy prices was a problem. It was a political problem, especially as gas prices were going up at the pump, but that it was separate from the broader inflation phenomenon. But increasingly, we're seeing that's not true, because higher energy prices inevitably will filter through to the rest of the economy. And in fact, now you're seeing that core inflation is remaining very stubborn, partly as a consequence of the huge run-ups in energy prices that we've seen over the past year and a half. No, you can't separate energy from the core. And if they could use more domestic supplies to get the energy price inflation under control, maybe they would have some chance of starting to pull down prices for other things as well.
And spending. I asked you about the UK and Parliament recognizing that spending by the central government contributes to inflation, contributes to their lack of growth. You said, no, they haven't yet had that, you know, on the road to Damascus experience for St. Paul. All right, fine. But in the U.S., we have had that revelation. We know that spending creates inflation. Hence, we've identified the largesse of the U.S. government during the pandemic years as a driver of inflation. Is there any recognition that that needs to be checked by either party, Joe? We're told there's a midterm, there could be a change in leadership, but I don't know. They both like to spend lots of money that they didn't actually take out of their own pockets.
Well, I mean, certainly Congress talks a bit like they understand this, but then they certainly don't legislate about it. I mean, the biggest howler here is the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act, which was supposed to get inflation under control by taking steps to balance the budget. And yet any budget balance that is in it gets pushed years into the future while the accelerated spending happens right now. And then you have boondoggles like the student loan forgiveness plan at, you know, tens or hundreds of billions of dollars, which undoes any of the inflation reduction that they claimed was in the Inflation Reduction Act. So, I mean, it is a huge political mess, and certainly Republicans are kind of picking up on this on the campaign trail. But we have to remember that their record in office of getting spending under control also is not particularly good. So I think that we're going to wait until, it's not going to be enough for one party or the other to campaign on this. We're going to have to wait to see if anyone can figure out how to legislate on any of these insights.
And the Federal Reserve, its road ahead. I don't ask you to pick numbers, but they spent all of 21 saying this was transitory. They were team transitory. And there would be a human instinct to overcompensate, to make up for the past. Do you measure that that's a risk, Joe, going into 23? They'll continue to tighten, though they can't be sure where we are.
Well, I actually think that the risk for the Fed is slightly different, and that Britain is an interesting example of this, because the big takeaway from what's happened in the UK over the past month is that financial markets have turned out to be extraordinarily fragile in the face of the prospect of rising interest rates. So, the Fed has talked about what it was doing in the US in terms of trying to limit the rate of growth of employment and jobs so that you could bring inflation down that way. And so this is often presented as a trade-off between higher interest rates and the job market. But I suspect that what's going to come into focus in coming months will be the danger that higher interest rates might create financial stability problems somewhere in the financial system. And that will be the moment where the Fed is going to have to decide whether they can or should continue tightening if inflation is still elevated at that point, or whether they can't stand the risk of doing that and decide that they have to tolerate the higher inflation, as the cost of not creating some kind of financial problem.
I think you just articulated carefully what is meant by something breaks. Is that right, Joe? I've heard that buzz on Wall Street. They're going to continue to tighten until something breaks.
Yes, and the something that people are worried about is some credit market somewhere, whether it's loan products or some kind of bond issue or derivatives that we don't understand and probably haven't heard of, that could create this, a financial event or accident of some sort. In the UK, that already happened when we discovered a few weeks ago that British pension funds were much more exposed to rising interest rates than we had realized. That should be making people worry about what might we discover is exposed in the U.S.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London, and we're going to London. Life in London in wartime, with the suggestion there could be rolling blackouts, with the suggestion that the electricity bills can go higher. What is to be done? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.